This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 52.
What I would advise around that is you've got to create a marketing machine, but don't spend a dime in marketing, a penny in marketing, until you have a really kick-ass follow-up system.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Alex Pardo here. It's awesome having you back on another Flip Empire Show. Look forward to today's masterclass expert interview with Brad Chandler. And Brad is actually somebody, if you don't know who he is, a mutual friend of ours, Chris Chico, put us in contact a couple of months ago. And if you haven't heard the interview with Chris, it was actually the first episode we had, episode one. Definitely check it out. And I was talking to Chris, and Chris, you know, told me, he's like, hey, man, you really need to connect with this guy, Brad Chandler. I think he'd be awesome for the show. And I'm sure that you'd pick up some things as well. And I kind of vetted and I went through some, you know, I jumped online. I Googled Brad Chandler, and I found that, you know, him and his team have bought over 2,000 properties in since 2003, I believe, in the Baltimore, Maryland, D.C. area. And it's just, yeah, I was just talking to him actually before I hit the record here, and looking at his website, it's so clear to me that he runs just a completely different operation than what a lot of investors and wholesalers around the country are running. And I thought it'd be great to get him on the show so that we can focus more on not so much strategies and techniques, but more about business development, how to really build this into a premier home buying business. And so if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time now, you know that we've had a variety of different guest experts on here covering different topics. And I think this is really going to be catered to the investor, the real estate entrepreneur that is trying to build a business that is scalable and it operates without them. You know, a lot of people out there are closing 2, 3, 4, 5 deals a month. And if you're really looking to kind of take your business to the next level, I know that's cliche. I think Brad's going to really deliver the goods here. So Brad, man, really appreciate you hopping on. I know we don't have too much time, so I want to kind of just jump right into it, man. If you could, you know, just for a little bit of context, if you can kind of give us, you know, a 40,000 foot view of where your business was when you guys got started in 2003 versus where it is now.
Sure. So I always had a vision of becoming a large nationwide company. After doing research and trying to just figure out the industry, I realized that it was a very fragmented mom and pop industry, very similar to the used car business. And, you know, we like to say that we want to be the CarMax of residential real estate. So I started back in 2003, I bought my first house, and that's a whole nother story about how hard it was to get started. But the 30-second version is it took me 8 months of working a full-time job, coming home at nights and weekends, and really making a lot of sacrifices. And each day that went by, I got more and more persistent that, hey, if these other guys can do it, I can do it. So I didn't give up. There were so many opportunities I could have given up, and I didn't. And in July of 2003, I bought my first house. In July and August, somehow I bought 6 houses, and then here we are, you know, somewhere between 2,000 and 2,100 houses. When we first started out, it was myself, just myself alone. In October, I brought on a partner, Judd Allen, who to this day I'm still partners with. We started out and we started TV advertising, and we didn't have a lot of money. So I think we were spending 5-10 grand a month on TV, and we were each doing everything. And I woke up one day and go, this is crazy. Like, we got to separate this. So I think around that time I read The E-Myth, by Michael Gerber about how to systematize your business. And so we immediately separated duties. And I believe at that time, I took on sales and marketing, and he took on construction and sales. And then, our next hire, I believe, was an admin, who could do a lot of the, you know, $15 an hour, $20 an hour jobs that we were doing. Mm-hmm. And then we just, you know, we didn't really have, I'm not great at planning. I didn't have this master plan. All I know is I wanted to grow and I wanted to make a lot of money. And so we, you know, we went from spending $5,000, $10,000, and then just each month it seemed like we'd be adding $10,000 to marketing spend. And we just wrapped the systems and processes and people around that. So at one point when we couldn't follow up with enough leads or couldn't follow up with the leads adequately, we brought in another acquisition person. We brought in an inside salesperson. And then we're like, well, you know, gosh, we got so many bills to pay. We've got to bring in a, you know, a staff accountant, and then we got to bring in someone to sell it. So we've just really grown over the years. Now we're up to, I think, close to 20 full-time employees. We have another 8 full-time virtual assistants. So we're close to 30 full-time employees. We're on pace to do, in the next 12 months, we'll probably do around 250 fix and flips.
Awesome. Awesome. So is your business model a combination of wholesale, fix and flips, and also buy and hold for your rental portfolio? Or what's kind of the makeup of your primary model?
Yeah, we have three buckets in our business. One is the fix and flip, where that's where we'll do 250. And of those 250, we'll probably wholesale 30%. We'll probably take down and list 20%, and we'll probably rehab 50%.
Okay.
The second bucket is a rental business where we own about 80 rental units, and we have a full service in-house property management company that services those. And then third bucket is a development business where we do anywhere from 2 to 20 unit condo conversions and condo developments in DC, just DC.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously you didn't, I would imagine you didn't start in all these different areas right off the bat, or maybe you did, but would you advise, you know, somebody that might be listening, especially somebody getting started in this business? I can see how all that sounds so kind of daunting and overwhelming, but obviously this is something that, you know, you've been building over the course of the last 13, 14 years or so. Would you recommend somebody that maybe is doing a couple of deals a month and they're looking to kind of scale and get to that next point in their business, focus on one particular thing, build systems around there, make sure that they have a team running that for them before they get involved into a different niche or a different area of the business?
Absolutely. So when I was going to those RIA meetings back then, they didn't have Meetup. When I was going to these RIA meetings and real estate investment clubs and everything, in those 8 months that I was trying to find a deal, I mistakenly thought that wholesaling was for the less sophisticated investor. And once you became smart, you started rehabbing houses. And man, after rehabbing 1,200 houses, we've probably rehabbed 1,300 houses maybe of the 2,100 that we've done.
Okay.
It's just the opposite. I think that the smart guy does wholesaling and sticks with wholesaling because of the risk, and you get paid immediately and there's no risk. So I would absolutely, I would start with wholesaling, and frankly, I would keep with wholesaling because scaling construction is so freaking hard. I mean, we're pretty good at what we do, and we still have massive problems with it.
Yeah.
So what I would advise around that is you've got to create a marketing machine, but don't spend a dime in marketing, a penny in marketing, until you have a really kick-ass follow-up system. And today is the greatest day to start a business or grow a business because of the cost and availability of technology and information. So you can literally, a new investor that 20 years ago, if they tried to replicate our follow-up system, they may have had to spend $100,000 on a system. Well, they can go now to Sugar CRM or Zoho or Podio, and for literally 20 to 50 bucks a month, they can create an incredible follow-up system. So my advice would be, and I tell this to all new investors, don't do anything until, you don't really have to worry about creating systems. You need to get the phone ringing, you need to close deals. Then once you start closing deals, then you can start creating the systems, and you can hire the people to help you write the systems. Number one is get technology and create an amazing follow-up system. Number two is market.
Dude, that's actually a perfect segue. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, because I, by the way, I echo exactly what you're saying. I mean, I think this is all about marketing, sending offers, following up. I mean, if you just kind of focus on steps 1 through 3, as opposed to what most people do, which is worry about the systems and all the stuff that at the end of the day is not really going to put money in your pocket until you get the marketing, the lead generation going. What are some of the things that you guys are doing to effectively follow up? Like, if you can kind of highlight, what does your follow-up system look like? Because I think that's such a big part of the equation that people miss.
So we use Infusionsoft, and I'm not a fan of Infusionsoft. It just happens to be what we're using now. We touch the person, I don't know the exact number, but we probably touch the person like 30 times in the first 45 days. And wow. It's a combination of emails, voicemails, phone calls, and text. And we are just all over the people until they tell us to stop calling. And frankly, when they tell us to, you know, when they tell us to take them off a list, we certainly do. But if they say, hey, we're really not interested in selling our house, we just bought a house last week. And my director of acquisitions pulled up the notes, and the email from like a year ago was like, leave me alone. I'm never going to sell my house.
That's
awesome. We just bought the house. So just killer follow up. And, you know, there's no magic formula. It's just, you've got to touch these people, you know, consistently all the time. We did last year 8 deals from calling back missed phone calls. So that's another thing. Part of your follow-up system is if someone calls you off your marketing and they don't leave a message, you better have a system to call them up, because we're living proof that you can do deals by calling back the people who, you know, didn't leave a message or you didn't contact.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. Let me ask you this, man. This is actually something that we're testing in our business here in South Florida. You have a team of 20 employees right now. Somebody that might have a virtual assistant, maybe they have a couple of lead managers, maybe even a few acquisitions people. What's your thought on lead generation in terms of when that phone rings? Would you advise that person, definitely get somebody in your team to pick up the call live, and then if they don't pick up, have it go to a 24-hour recorded message, or even a company like Pat Live? I mean, because right now we're in the process of transitioning from Pat Live over to let's take the calls in-house so that we can ask a few questions, build rapport right off the bat, get an offer in front of these people.
100%. Yeah, I hate voicemails. I don't think that they're good. I know Chris feels differently, but it's harder once a person leaves a voicemail to track them down. We try to answer all of our calls live. If they're not answered live, they roll over to Pat Live.
Okay, got it. And one of the things, Brad, that I noticed on your site was, you know, I'm always looking for ways to separate myself from the quote unquote competition, right? How can I, like, what's our unique selling proposition? There's a lot of home buyers and investors across the country. I noticed one of the things on your site is you have a very simple 1-2-3 step process for the homeowner to see and understand how simple it is. And one of the things that really jumped out at me is that you offer them a $2,500 cash advance once you go under contract. Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe a few other things that you might be doing to really just kind of distinguish yourself from everybody else out there?
Yeah. So when I came up with that idea years ago, no one was doing it. And now a lot of people have copied us. But frankly, I thought it was one of the greatest business ideas I ever came up with. And it's one of those things that, you know, people might seem think it's great, but a lot of the sellers don't take advantage of that. But some of them do, and they think it's awesome, because a lot of the sellers that we buy from are in cash crunches. And I'm constantly thinking, what can we do to differentiate ourselves? And what can we do to provide service to the seller who is in need? And one of the things is, well, if they have no money and they're dying for cash and they need money to, say, hire a moving truck, well, if they can't hire the moving truck, they can't move out. So I came up with that idea of, hey, once we get the property under contract and run title work and make sure that everything's clean, then we would advance that $2,500. So again, sounds great, but not a ton of people call us and say, hey, you got to give us that cash advance.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Did. I guess the part two of that question was, because that's actually a very unique idea. That's one of the things that I'll implement here in our business. Is there anything else that you have found, whether through the feedback of homeowners that your team is working with, or just, you know, your experience in closing a bunch of deals throughout the years, is what's the a couple of tips or a couple of things that you can share with us that people can implement in their business to kind of separate and distinguish themselves from pretty much everybody's buying cash? Everybody's closing on the date of your choice. There's no fees or commissions. They're taking care of your closing costs. Is there anything else that you're doing to kind of say, hey, listen, most people don't do this, or nobody else is doing this?
So there's really no magic bullet. We have a lady in our office named April who handles from contract signing to contract to the house purchase. And she's phenomenal. She's constantly in touch with the seller. She's helping them out if they need rides certain places. So it's a level of service and it's professionalism. We don't play any tricks with the seller. We don't do any underhanded stuff. From day one, you know, my face has been on TV commercials. Hey, we're Express Home Buyers. On our website, we have an office location. A lot of investors now, still, you go to their website, there's no address. Like, what business doesn't have an address?
Right.
We have a real powerful About Us page that tells you know, about each person on our staff and gives a bio so people can connect. So I think it's just a combination of just professionalism. I mean, you guys are welcome to go and look at the About Us page. Just please don't copy anything off our website, but you'll see we do a really good job. To set yourselves apart, you want to You want to ask the seller, well, why would they want to do business with you? They want to do business with you because you're trusted. You've done it a lot before. You know, you've got a lot of great reviews on Google and Better Business Bureau. You've got a lot of testimonials, video testimonials, written testimonials, and all those things make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I got to commend you, man, because I'm extremely impressed with your site. And we'll, if you want to mention it at the end of the show, please feel free to, so people can check it out. But one of the things that, if I'm looking at this in the shoes of a homeowner, you kind of have the perfect combination between a professional home buying company, but at the same time, it feels very personal, almost mom and pop-ish. If that makes any sense, without sure. really looking like you're a mom and pop operation.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I can tell that makes a big difference and goes a long way. Let me ask you this, Brad, and I know we only got maybe about another 5 minutes or so here. What is somebody that might not have a huge marketing budget? Let's say they got $500 a month, or let's say they have a couple $1,000s a month. When it comes to lead generation, where would you say right now is the best place to put that? Is it direct mail? Is it, you know, generating leads online? What's kind of your thought on, let's get the phone ringing, let's get leads coming in now that we know we got to have an effective follow-up system in place?
So I have spent hours on this topic. And if you go to expresshomebuyers.com/category/wholesalers, there are tons and tons of good information for wholesalers. But one of the first couple articles I wrote on that site was how to find motivated sellers from a beer to champagne budget. And okay. I outline every single source of possible things. But off the top of my head, what I would say is bandit signs are very cheap and they are effective. Car magnets. I've done multiple deals with having the huge We Buy Houses magnets on the side of my car, mm-hmm. and then direct mail. So when I bought my first house in July of 2003, I had a negative $80,000 net worth from my student loans. I didn't have a rich uncle. I didn't have a lot of money. So what I did is I did those things. I did bandit signs, and at night and on weekends, I would hand address tons and tons of letters to people. And I would focus on, because I didn't even have the money to buy the list. And back then, I guess you could have bought lists, but you certainly couldn't just pop online like you can now and buy lists. So if you don't have the money to buy lists, go to the tax assessment website, find people who are absentee owners in your area that have owned the house for at least 15 years because it has to have equity. Uh-huh. So again, have done hours of presentations on this, and a lot of it is on that website. So your listeners can go and actually find that article, the champagne beer budget, but it outlines in great detail the cost on everything and where they should go if they, you know, depending on what their marketing budget is.
Perfect. And you said expresshomebuyers.com/category/wholesalers, right?
Yes. /category, singular, and then /wholesalers, plural.
Perfect. Well, why don't a couple questions for you here and we'll get you out of here. What's the biggest thing you'd tell yourself if you can talk to the 25-year-old Brad Chandler? What's the biggest piece of advice you'd share with him?
Focus and persistence. So if you want to be successful, you have to be persistent. Jack Canfield took him 121 publishers before someone published his Chicken Soup for the Soul book. Yep. So persistence is number one. Focus is number two. We lost a tremendous amount of money in 2005 because we thought we knew it all. We were making so much money in the fix and flip business that we thought we knew everything. And we got into development deals that we knew nothing about. And we lost a tremendous amount of money and probably worked free for a number of years digging out of that hole. So focus on what you are good at and don't try to go do a bunch of things. Don't try to change. I see that even with experienced investors today, and I'm guilty of it. I've gotten a lot better over the last 2 years, is always like trying something new and chasing the latest, greatest, you know, fad. Just stick. If you're going to wholesale houses, stick to wholesaling houses, become the best marketer and closer you can, and the money and the success will come.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more, man. So, hey, I really appreciate your time, and I know a lot of people are going to get value from the content you're sharing here. What's the best way that people can reach out to you if they want to connect with you? Maybe there's even cash buyers out there that are looking to do deals in your area, or just find out kind of more about how you've built your business. What's the best place to connect with you?
So on that website, if you go to the About Us page, it's got all my information on there, expresshomebuyers.com, and then just click on About Us.
Fantastic, man. Well, hey, listen, I appreciate it. And by the way, again, congratulations to your son, who seems to be a badass golfer. you send me his name, man, because I want to look for him on the tour in the coming years.
Well, it's easy. It's the same as mine. It's Bradford Chandler. So
well, there yeah. you go, man. There you go. Awesome, man. Well, hey, listen, I know you and I will be in contact here. If there's anything we can do to help you, let us know. And appreciate the time, man.
All right. Take care, buddy.
All right. Take care, Brad.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.